The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Brethren in Christ, Christ is in our midst. The Orthodox calendar puts Saint Mary of Egypt at the summit of the highest ranking saints and ascetics throughout Christian history. Having ascended from the deep pit of sinfulness to the highest degree of sanctity, Mary's memory is placed even after Saint John of Climacus, who wrote the most spiritual book called the Letter of Divine Ascent or the Letter of Paradise. The calendar teaches us that Mary, who had been a harlot, chose to lead a severe ascetic life so that she might be purified and sanctified. Her memory comes toward the end of our Lenten journey into Pascha, which is next week, giving us a great example for practicing tougher fast and abstinence with great humility. And after a half century, almost a half century of ascetic life, Mary deeply felt that she was still a slave and far away from perfection. Also, the gospel of this morning teaches us that the two disciples, James and John, who proudly asked Jesus to grant them to sit one at his right hand and the other one at his left in his glory, suffered the same suffering of Jesus and were purified by Jesus' death and resurrection. And this gospel reading aims to teach us extreme humility. Mary's life is written by the great patriarch Sophronius. He was the patriarch of Jerusalem, who was a native of Damascus and made a great progress in learning that he obtained the name of the Sophist. Although he was engaged in fighting heresies, especially the monothelites, those who believe that Jesus Christ had only one will and one energy, and also he was engaged in saving Jerusalem from destruction by making an agreement with Omar al-Khattab, the Caliph, in 638, Sophronius took the time to write the most amazing story of Mary of Egypt. His aim in writing this masterpiece was to reveal and to preach the works of God. He believed that to be silent about the works of God is a great loss for the souls of Christians. He was afraid to hide the works of God by silence. Therefore, Sophronius strongly felt that he was bound to pass on the holy account that has reached him. In his biography, Sophronius quotes Saint Mary of Egypt verbatim, saying, quote, "Already during the lifetime of my parents, when I was 12 years old, I renounced their love and went to Alexandria. I am ashamed to recall how there at first ruined my maidenhood, and then recklessly gave myself to sensuality. For about 17 years, I lived like that. I was like a fire of public debauch. I lived by begging, often by spinning flax, but I had an unquenchable desire and irrepressible passion for lying in filth." Unquote. Then one summer, she saw a large crowd of Libyans and Egyptians going to Jerusalem for the exaltation of the precious and life-giving cross. She was suddenly filled with a desire to go, but to have more lovers who could satisfy her passion. The abomination of past sins, however, prevented Mary from seeing the holy things, but then her conscience and the awareness of her actions turned Mary to a better way of life. Having venerated the holy places with great joy, she has received a redemptive way to repentance, and then she made haste toward the holy path, that is, toward the ascetic life. Crossing the stream of Jordan with eagerness, she lived in the dwelling place of John the Baptist. She lived for over 47 years in the desert, cutting down with the sword of abstinence the snares of the soul and the passions of the flesh. And by the silence of the ascetic life, she shocked her sinful thoughts and became participant in the suffering and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Emulating the life of angels, she became at the end the bride of Christ. And Sophronius, the patriarch, mentions that she became the angel in the flesh, of which the world is not worthy. And before her death, she took Holy Communion from Elder Zosimus, and she said to him, quote, "Forgive me, Abba, for asking you, but fulfill another wish of mine. Go now to the monastery and let God's grace guard you, and next year come again at the same place where I first met you. Come for God's sake, for you shall again see me, for such is the will of God." Unquote. He came the second year and saw the saint lying dead on the same day she took Holy Communion. Her hands were crossed according to custom, and her face was turned to the east. Running up, he shed tears over the saint's feet and kissed them. On the other hand, the two disciples from the Gospel this morning, James and John, had an ambition to sit one on Jesus' right and the other on his left. We're looking for glory, for vain glory. As you heard, they were expecting to enter into Jesus' kingdom without passing through cross and resurrection. Since they thought that Jesus was going to an earthly kingdom to become just a king and would rule in Jerusalem, they asked about the privilege of the first seats and about being first among all the other disciples. Comparing Mary with John and James, we see that Mary, the sinful woman, once felt the power of Christ, she changed. But James and John had often been informed many times, hundreds of times, of the hidden mysteries of Christ, but they were unable before Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection to understand the meaning of suffering and humility. Even the timing of their request was wrong. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, was going to die and be crucified for us. But the two great disciples were asking for glory. This was not the right time for crowns and prizes. It was the time for struggles, contest, toils, sweat, wrestling, and battles. And Jesus at once called them to drink of this chalice. It means that to pattern themselves after the struggle of his suffering. And this he calls a baptism. He calls suffering a baptism, showing that from it humanity would receive a great purification and glorification. Then they say to him that they can drink from this chalice. In the fervor of their spirit, they promise immediately, not knowing what they said, but looking to obtain that which they were asking. But he foretold them about great things. That is, they shall be made worthy of martyrdom. They shall suffer the things he has suffered, and they shall enter their life, end their life with death from violence, and in this also they be sharers with him. Brethren in Christ, all of you were baptized in water and the Spirit in this baptismal font, pledging to enter by the narrow gate which leads to life. And this baptismal road ends in life, in eternal life, and the physician graciously will bring the treasury of healing to your suffering. But whoever of you keeps wearing and putting on his baptismal garment undergoes a change of habits, attitudes, and as even associates. Our or your infant or even adult baptism should be continued with the baptism of tears to blot out from your souls the image and the images of your passions and establish in it the God-given icon of godliness. Brethren in Christ, as we enter into the Holy Week, this coming Saturday, the Saturday of Lazarus, and then into Palm Sunday, and then the Holy Week itself, in which Christ was baptized by blood, we are confident that God works amazing miracles and generously bestows gifts on those who turn to him with humility, and rewards those who seek light for themselves in the life of Saint Mary and in the lesson of Jesus to his two disciples, James and John. May the Almighty God grant all of you a lot of blessed apostles among the apostles, and Mary, together with all those at different times, have pleased God by their pious thoughts and labors. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.